and thank you for listening to the Community Connections podcast. I'm your host, Cole Warner, back for episode two today. And we previewed this one a little bit last week, but we are going to have on a special guest with us today. This isn't her first time on. She had a short appearance on our National Hospice and Palliative Care Month episode, but really happy to have her on for a full feature episode today. Emily Sullivan, who is the bereavement counselor here at Hospice of Davidson County. We're going to talk a lot about what she does today, what she sees in our community, and the important pieces of her role in the hospice benefit that so many of our families take advantage of. So a little bit of background on Emily is she is a licensed clinical mental health counselor associate in the state of North Carolina, which for those of you that don't know, just means that she's working towards her full licensure as all licensed clinicians go through. So she's well on her way to that. She's been with Hospice of Davidson County as a student, kind of intern slash part-timer since August of 2020, and has been our full-time grief counselor since November of 2021. So coming up a little over about a year and a half now. So we're happy to have her here. Thank you, Emily, for joining the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So Emily, let's just jump right into your role here at Hospice of Davidson County. What does the bereavement counselor do in our organization?
So I provide bereavement counseling and emotional support to hospice patients and family members of hospice patients, as well as members of our community, people who live in Davidson County. I also provide facilitation of our grief support group at hospice. We have a grief support group, and I do grief support and education for groups at different schools in Davidson County. And those can be like elementary schools, middle schools, also high schools.
You talked about different mediums there, individual counseling, group counseling sessions, and then even a school program. Is the type of work you do in those different areas to sort of meet different people's needs, or sort of how do people interact and engage? What are people engaging in those types of things for?
The individual counseling is the majority of what I do, but the groups provide a really important service because group counseling does provide something different than individual, and education as well as emotional support from a group. When we're talking about grief, it can really provide a sense that you are not alone in these grief feelings. Other people are experiencing grief. They're dealing with the same kind of struggles. And that is kind of the main thing that people get out of the groups. As far as our grief support group, the groups I do in schools, it's very similar. The students learn that they're not the only ones feeling this way. But in addition, the school groups is very big on education. I'm educating the students about what is normal and what kind of emotions they might be going through, might already have, might be currently, and just kind of letting them know that message that this is normal and you will heal over time. And here are some coping strategies and skills you might use to aid your healing. And we also do activities that can help with processing grief emotions. But individual is mainly what I do. Individual one-on-one counseling.
Now, you use the term education, and we talk about this on the podcast all the time, educating on hospice work, because you said grief can make you feel a little bit alone,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Do you feel like education is a big part of your job because of that sort of isolating feeling?
Yes. I feel like education is a big part of my job because grief is an isolating experience. And also because grief and ways to cope with grief, it's not something that's talked about very often in our society. It's not something that we really discuss openly. There's a lot of myths and misconceptions about grief. And it's just, there's a real need for education. And I would say not only in our area, there's a need for education across our country, really, on what is normal for grief. Grief, loss, death, bereavement, You know, these are topics people really don't enjoy talking about, and I understand why. So people avoid talking about them, which just leads to a lack of information, a lack of knowledge. And a big part of my role is to be there with that information and with that knowledge ready to share with others.
You brought up the schools earlier. I imagine that this affects children in a pretty significant way.
Yes, it does. There's different reasons that students might be appropriate for the group, but in general, it's because they've lost someone close to them and they've lost them recently. Most often, I see students who have lost parents, and it is hard. And students and children of different ages, they really process grief in different ways depending on their stage of development. You know, being there with education and resources which are age appropriate for them is really important part of what I do in the school groups. And grief and loss do affect children. It's not that they're not affected at all, but they are affected sometimes differently than adults are, and they cope a little differently.
I appreciate you kind of touching on that. And really, I guess I'd like to know, why is it that you find that most people engage in some form, whether it's one of the groups that you mentioned or in, you said, the more common individual counseling is done? Why are people engaging in those services? What are you hearing from them?
I would say the two main reasons I see would be, one, because they are dealing with some grief symptoms which are disrupting their day-to-day life. So they're dealing with grief symptoms which are so disruptive to their routine that they are reaching out for some extra support and from a counselor to help them manage and to cope with these grief symptoms. And there are many grief symptoms which can really disrupt your functioning. And that's the main, I'd say that's the number one reason. But there's another big reason. I've had multiple patients that come to see me specifically to find out if what they are feeling and experiencing is normal. A lot of my patients have made appointments, and these are typically patients who won't, you know, they'll be fine after just a few appointments with me, and then they won't need to continue. But one of the main drivers that a lot of them have is coming in to see if what I'm feeling is normal. Sometimes they have distressing thoughts after a loss. They might have regrets. They might have been second guessing their decisions, especially around medical care. And to have a safe place to discuss those feelings and those thoughts and to find out, is this normal to feel this way? That's another really big reason. Those are the two main reasons, not the only ones, but just the most common ones I see. Other times I've had some patients make appointments for their children to try and assess and see if their children are grieving in a healthy way. So that's another reason why sometimes people will come in for grief counseling for their children. Another reason that I see is people having a hard time adjusting to the big, big change in their life that this loss has brought. And, you know, it's a big umbrella term, right? To say a big change or a big adjustment, but grief and loss can really upset your life in a big way. So some people come and they engage in grief counseling because they're trying to find out how to cope with this change. A lot of my patients have lost spouses, for example. Living with your spouse, seeing them every single day, and then trying to go on without them is a huge change in your life. It can feel very lonely. People can feel isolated. I know I've mentioned isolation a minute ago, but people do feel quite lonely and isolated when they're grieving, and having someone to talk to, having someone that will listen to them and in a non-judgmental way, it can really help.
I thought what you said about people wondering if what they're feeling is normal was very interesting. Our last episode talking about really those end of life symptoms in the last days, hours, that's often, you know, that's sort of what we were trying to do there. But that's often what our staff is doing with hospice patients as well, with what they're seeing medically, is trying to normalize that. I thought that was interesting that there's a connection there. Well, you talk about something that's, if people feel normal, or they feel isolating, you know, and coming and engaging in groups with other people who are grieving a loss. I'm sure that that's quite helpful to them, feeling that you can't, again, I'm doing air quotes again this week, normal. That right. Normalness, right? That, yes, that normalcy. I know just in the work about hospice that we've covered over two seasons now of this podcast, that there are misconceptions surrounding hospice care. I also know that there's misconceptions surrounding grief, whether it's an individual's grief process or just you know, again, not to use air quotes, but the right or wrong way, if I'm doing that right or wrong way to grieve. Don't want to use that word because that's as I'm sure Emily's about to explain, that that's not the way to look at it. But I know that that is a common thing that people often feel, right? So yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that, Emily?
Absolutely. Yeah. People do worry often that they're not grieving the right way. You know, I mentioned earlier, one of the reasons that a lot of people come to grief counseling with me is because they want to make sure what they're feeling is normal. And I'm asked that question quite often. Really, every single time, the answer, what you're describing is normal. People just don't realize how universal these symptoms and how universal the experience of grief is. Kind of like you mentioned, there's no right or wrong way. It's just not as helpful to say right or wrong. You could say healthy or unhealthy way to grieve. If I had to quantify it like that, I would say healthy or unhealthy. However, what's a healthy way to grieve can look very different from one person to the next. And you could have many different ways to grieve, all be completely healthy. Misconceptions and myths. The biggest one that I see is people fear and they worry that grief is forever. They worry grief is forever. They're going to be grieving as long as they live the rest of their life. The grief will never end. That's just not true. I understand why people worry about that, though, because the loss is forever. So we worry we're going to be feeling these emotions forever and it's always going to be this painful. But that is not true. It's not accurate. Grief does not last forever. The grieving period can look different from one person to the next, yes. But it absolutely is not permanent. It's just not a permanent state. It's a temporary state. It's a painful one. And these kind of painful grief emotions, they're not going to be around forever. You're not going to be feeling this way forever because over time you heal. And it's just kind of like a physical wound heals very slowly, like a little bit every day. You could look at that as kind of a metaphor for healing from grief or healing from the emotional wound of a loss, which is the grief you're experiencing. You're going to heal. You're healed a little bit every day, but it will take time to really fully heal, just like a wound does. It doesn't heal overnight. Other myths and misconceptions that I've heard. Well, one of them, people say that you shouldn't hold it in. You should talk about it. Well, talking about it can help a lot of people, but it is a misconception that it will help everyone. What is helpful for one person may not be helpful for another. It may even be harmful. If someone is not ready to talk about it, that's actually fine. That's just how they're coping. They don't need to right now. Also, keep in mind, if someone is not talking about their grief and loss right now, it doesn't mean they never will. It just means maybe they're not ready. They're not in that place to. You know, people do handle grief in different ways, and it can look different from one person to the next. Your grief changes over time, just kind of how you and I would change over time. well, your grief will too. You know, we change as we have different experiences, and your grief is going to change as you heal. So the way you cope in the first few months may not be how you cope 6 months or a year down the road. And they can both be healthy coping mechanisms, you know, healthy coping skills for grief. Misconceptions, I think those are the biggest ones I see. The only other ones I will mention is there's a misconception that if you're grieving, then if you want them back, you're being selfish. Well, that's something I hear a lot. People say that to me a lot. They say, I know it's selfish that I want them back. Well, that's a misconception. It's not selfish. Of course you want this person back. You love this person. And you're not selfish just because you're grieving. Grieving is a natural process. Everyone does it. It's a universal experience. That's probably the last one I could think of.
I smile a little bit because one of the things that you said that resonated me with was the idea that grief is something that everybody goes through. Yet at the very beginning of this, we said it's not talked about a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting that despite it being something, and we can be on here and we can talk about its individualistic nature,
sure,
right? Despite there being, you know, if you put a group of folks who've just lost someone, they're going to find connection points with each other, right? Similar experiences, maybe polar opposite experiences, but still connection points that they can relate, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we don't talk about it. And, you know, I know that we have, that people sometimes feel like they're a burden when they're mm-hmm. grieving, or you know, there's lots of negative emotions and even negative perceptions, self-perceptions around their grief, right? Yeah. That what they're dealing with in this moment is somehow making them less than, or somehow making them a burden on those around them. If you're kind of wrapping this up for us, Emily, and you were talking to somebody out there, most likely that has lost someone, because everyone has, right? But yeah. Someone out there that's lost someone recently, what would you tell them about being willing to sort of knock down those self-perceptions and say, I'm okay in my state right now, or I'm okay to grieve? What would you say to them?
Yeah, I would say you're going through something very difficult. Grief is painful. It is difficult. You deserve some compassion. You know, one of the reasons people don't talk about grief is because a lot of people, we walk around and act like negative emotions are not acceptable, right? We're negative emotions not acceptable in public. Maybe we don't talk about them with our friends or family. There's deep, you know, misconceptions that we should just be happy and positive all the time. Well, I would tell a person who's grieving, you're going to be going through some negative and painful emotions, but they are completely healthy and normal to go through sometimes, especially after a loss. Your grief will not last forever, but it will be painful. And that is okay. In fact, it is natural, and it's important to go through so that you can heal and keep going on in a healthy way. Grief counseling, bereavement counseling, can help you in the healing process. Not everyone will be interested in bereavement grief counseling. That's okay. You can heal a little bit at a time, and grief counseling is just another tool to help you on that journey.
I like that idea, the toolbox, right? Because yeah. There's not one size fits all for any right. of these for any of these tools.
For one person, the grief support group is the right tool to help them in their grief journey and to help them heal. For someone else, it could be the individual grief and bereavement counseling. And then for someone else, it could be a combination of the two. But we have these tools available to use and to help you in your healing.
Well, and while grief counseling at Hospice of Davidson County, we do make sure that all of those families that have had a loved one under our care are served. We do offer, as Emily said, talked about things to the community. Our grief support group is a great way to engage if you're a community member and you're not sure sort of where you sit, to come and learn from others who have maybe experienced something similar, and take away some fellowship with people who are going through one of these processes that, you know, Emily said it's not forever. It can also take years, right? Or it can be, you know, 6 months, right? But it's going to be something. So we want to make sure that the people in our community have great resources available to them. So Emily, I'm very appreciative for you being willing to come on today and talk about our services. And, you know, we're Hospice of Davis County in general does quite a few events throughout the year that are targeted towards, you know, honoring and remembering those patients who were under our care and their families, and bringing them some closure. And Emily is another piece that she does all the time with families, that they can come and find that healing and closure, you know, even after their loved one is gone. So if you want more information, you can always check out our website, hospiceofdavidson.org.